Are we heading into the perfect storm as far as world events are concerned? I'm going to be going in depth and talking about some of the issues that affect each and every one of us. That plus more on today's Truth to Ponder.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
Thanks for tuning in, everyone. This is Jim Calhoun sitting in for Bob Bierman today. And Bob will be back tomorrow with another great edition of Truth to Ponder. Well, today's episode is going to be an in-depth look at what I think is the perfect storm. And I'm going to offer my opinions of things that we can do to prepare for what I think is coming. I know that for several years I've been talking about the collapse of our society and world wars and things that I saw on the horizon. And while things haven't been moving as fast as I thought they would, I do see a definite quickening. Things are starting to move a lot faster. And so therefore, when I think the perfect storm hits, it's going to snowball like an avalanche. And there's always that few moments right when an avalanche starts when you kind of feel things move. You don't see it, but you feel it if you're standing on top of the mountain. You can feel things start to move under the surface of the snow. And then all of a sudden the snow lets loose. And then as it goes down the mountain, it gathers fury and speed. And that's exactly what's about to happen worldwide. I don't think there's any doubt now in anyone's mind that we are going to war. We just have too many small military bases all over the world that are really hard to defend. And I think they're being used as bait. And so the terrorists, or whatever you want to call them, will take some shots at our soldiers and eventually kill a few, and that has happened. And now it's real predictable that the chicken hawks in Washington want to destroy Iran. They want to wipe them off the face of the planet. And while I've never been a fan of Iran or their policies, I do know that we in the West have been taking out their generals by assassination. And we've done drone strikes and cruise missile strikes against Iranian positions. And we've killed Iranians. And of course, they don't have the wherewithal to come wipe our country out or attack our countries. And so they just shake their fists and say, well, we're going to get you. But yet, when an American citizen dies, which is horrible, it seems that we have to go wipe the whole country off the face of the earth. And I'm not trying to make light of these soldiers that lost their lives, but they were put in harm's way by a rogue government in Washington, D.C. And the only reason that they were killed is because they were handy. They were close. And there's not enough of them or defensive positions around them to keep them protected. And as soon as that happened, Benjamin Netanyahu was extremely happy that his war in Gaza is going better than expected. Well, that's the best thing that could happen for Netanyahu, is to have Americans get killed and have Americans go fight Iran for him. But we have so many things happening that I think that as it comes together as a perfect storm, we're going to see not only world wars, but we're going to see regional wars, civil wars, economic wars, all sorts of cyber wars and electronic warfare. And also, this is going to be the first war with extensive use of AI and robotics. And so we have quite an evil thing unfolding in front of our eyes. I think I'm going to start with the smaller conflicts and then work towards the larger ones. But do you realize that there is unrest in Africa? There are factions that are getting ready to war with each other in Africa. And we still have Venezuela that is being a bully to their neighbors. And in Ecuador, we have issues. Of course, we have issues with Taiwan and China and on the Korean Peninsula. There's old wounds between Russia and Japan that are starting to surface. And there's old wounds of Korea and China that are starting to surface. And of course, there's all sorts of small separatist movements in Mongolia. And let's not forget the border clashes between China and India. And now you have Pakistan and Iran seemingly bombing each other. But I'm not sure if they're actually bombing each other or they're both bombing the same group that they claim is supported by the CIA that happens to be operating in both countries. I haven't quite got that sorted out yet, but it does seem like there is tensions there. Then you can look at the Kosovo region and, of course, the entire Middle East, with Yemen starting to step up their missile attacks on the shipping. And there are several countries in northern Africa who have expressed a willingness to help their brothers in Yemen. And while that's not going to be a huge asset to Yemen, because there's just not that many troops or supplies that can be sent from these countries, but the mere fact that people are drawing lines in the sand and they're willing to take sides means that things are about to really go hot, as far as I can tell. And we have active duty Italian officers who are snipers, who are actively in Ukraine killing Russians. And one of the snipers has been killed. And Russian drone strikes have killed active duty members of the French Foreign Legion. And last year, we had the soldiers from Great Britain that were captured. And they said they were mercenaries, but it seems that all these people who are mercenaries are absent from their military units in the armies of the Western world. And I think that a lot of them are working for NATO and working for their own army. They're just there to see what's going on and gauge the fighting spirit and the capabilities of Russia. And they seem to gravitate towards the war areas, and so they can actively participate. You have the general population of Ukraine who, I think that they're being annihilated, and I think they're finally figuring that out. And I don't think that we're going to go through another 18 months before you're going to see a revolution in Ukraine to get rid of the government that keeps sending them to the front line just to be killed, because they're not training the soldiers and they're ill-equipped now. It seems that the artillery battles are getting very one-sided, with Russia firing twice or more than twice the amount of artillery shells than the Ukraine can possibly fire. And so if Ukraine fires 5,000 rounds a day, the Russians are going to fire 10 to 15,000 rounds a day. And that's so lopsided that at the end of the day, Russia is going to do a lot more damage than Ukraine could. And so at the end of the day, Russia is going to damage Ukraine a lot more than the Ukrainians are going to damage Russia or Russians. And so at this rate, it's very unsustainable for the Ukrainian army. But now I'm going to get a little closer to home. Our southern border is a drug zone, a war zone, a slavery and child trafficking zone. There's an awful lot of evil that's happening at our border. And the news cameras are showing all these border crossings with protesters and Texas Rangers and Border Patrol. And of course, the TV cameras are there. But you go a half mile down the road, you'll see that there are sections of the wall missing or gates wide open. Nobody's around. There's even a well-traveled road through one gate right into Mexico. So all the illegals would have to do is walk a half a mile down that fence line and go to a place that's non-defended, which seems to be almost every place. But of course, the TV cameras and all the theater is going to happen in one spot, while the rest of our border seems to be unguarded. And so there's something very fishy about the whole southern border issue, because if they really wanted to stop it, there would be guards at every crossing. But that's my point. The illegitimate Biden regime does not want to stop the illegals. They want them in this country. And now we have lawmakers floating the idea of making these young men who are crossing the border into military soldiers wearing the uniform of the United States. And that's going to be a mistake, because they're going to hand a lot of people guns that are enemies of our country, and that's why they crossed. And so we're going to let the enemies inside our army. And if you have people who are illegals that cross the border and they're hostile to the United States, and then the armed forces take these people and gives them rifles and training, who's to say they're not going to use those rifles and use that training against us? So it's a very risky move, taking these illegals that you know very little about and training them and equipping them as a United States soldier. I think that is a very bad mistake. But Governor Abbott in Texas is not backing down, and he's got the support of at least 25 other governors. And so we've never been, since the American Civil War of the 1860s, we've never been this divided politically. You can say that politics got really nasty several years ago, and it stayed nasty, and I believe that. I think that's true. But also, I think there's other things going on that are bigger than what we know about. And giving these people that are third worlders training and weapons, when you don't know whether they might be part of an army that's here as a sleeper cell, or they might be part of the drug cartel, or who knows? We know little about these people that have crossed the border. But as they cross the border, they're getting thousands of dollars and a free bus ticket or an airplane ride to wherever they want to go. And this is happening while we have American veterans who are starving and living in the streets. But yet, the resources and the focus is going to the illegals that are coming over the border. And make no mistake about it, the politicians are very happy to have the illegals cross the border, because our population has been in decline and the birth rates are going down, whereas in the third world countries, the birth rates are still very high. And so they're replacing us in this country. And then they're going to replace these third worlders with robots later on. I have no doubt of that. And the reason I'm bringing this up is that if there are shots fired in Texas, things will most likely spiral out of control so fast that before anyone even knows it, Texas will be seceding from the United States. There is a large group of people that want independence for Texas. People have laughed at that group for years as they tried desperately to be dissolved from the Union and be their own country again. But over the last several years, that movement has grown. And while people have kind of shrugged their shoulders and shook their head or laughed at it, now people are actively considering whether that is a viable option. Governor Abbott is not going to back down, and an illegitimate Joe Biden likely has no idea what's going on. They might have told him. He might retain that for a minute or two, long enough for him to mumble something in front of the TV camera. But I believe that Obama and Obama's people are the ones that are behind a lot of things that are happening. And I don't think that Obama would have any problem at all ordering the regular military to attack the National Guard units of Texas. I have no doubt that that's a possibility. Now, do I think it's going to happen? I'm not sure. But I do know that if any Texan is killed by the feds, then the movement to dissolve the Union and pull Texas out of the United States is going to go to a fever pitch. And that's not going to be good for anyone, because people are going to draw their lines, they're going to have guns, and they're going to use them. And so I see this perfect storm of civil wars all over the planet, economic wars all over the planet, cyber war, terrorism all over the planet. I think the large conflicts are going to get out of hand really fast. And I think that our whole system, the judicial system, the monetary system, everything is going to be totally shut down because of the collapse of the societies worldwide. After this is over, I would be surprised if there is a United States that is configured the way it is today. The Mexican cartels, who are basically quasi-governments of their own, have a lot of power and they're operating in all 50 states. And you know they're not just going to meetings and having coffee and ice cream. These people want to control the world. They really do. The cartels want to be the drug dealers and the pimps to the entire world. And their power is growing. Their numbers are growing. They're getting more ambitious. They're using better, high-quality weapons. They're trained better. Plus, they have enough money now they can buy off politicians and buy off judges, and they're doing all the above. And since we have the drug cartels active in all 50 states, you have to know that they're ready and willing to do anything it takes to bring this country to its knees. And none of these problems need to happen. It's just the elites want to thin the herd. They want to thin our population. And I would imagine that a lot of the elites, if you want to call them that, acquired their money through, let's say, shady drug deals and worse. And so we have an awful lot of people who are given power or can give themselves power because they can buy off any politician. They have the money to do whatever they want to do. A lot of these people got their money by being drug dealers and moving up through the ranks of organized crime. So our government is infiltrated with criminals, gangsters, one-worlders, and communists. And I would have to say that we have quite a few anti-American people that are serving our government. Of course, they're not serving our government. They're serving themselves. But the picture I'm trying to paint is total chaos over the entire world. I think that's extremely possible that that's going to happen. Other things you don't really think go along with World War III, but they actually do, is the farmers' protests that are happening all over Europe. The European governments are trying to legislate farming right out of business. And of course, that's a land grab. They don't want the land to be privately owned. And so it's all about power and greed. And the farmers are a small voting bloc that really can't make any difference. And they're in the way. And so the farmers have got to go. So we have a war on farming. And we have the immigrant crisis all the way through Europe that is going to cause all sorts of trouble. And also Great Britain is considering arming the young men that have crossed into their country and putting them in the armed forces of the United Kingdom. Well, the thing I see wrong with this picture is that the United Kingdom is going to be fighting against Arab countries and against Islamic countries. And most of the young men who crossed the channel and came into Great Britain illegally, well, they happen to be Muslims. And I could just see the British government training and equipping a whole bunch of young men and giving them weapons. And then those young men take the weapons and just simply turn their weapons towards the people who gave them the guns and just slaughter them. Because I think that these young people from the Islamic world, I think most of them are there to actively come against and fight against the host country. I think that most of these Western nations have been invaded. And I think that trouble's a brewing. And if they hand weapons to who I perceive as the enemies of the country that they emigrated to, I think that's going to make matters worse, kind of like throwing gasoline on a fire. And I doubt if you can order a Muslim to go down and kill another Muslim in the name of the king. I just don't see that happening. The old world as we knew it has fallen apart, and the new world has no loyalty and has no ambition. And most of the young British and American and Canadian and American children, they don't want to fight a war. They want to play video games or go out with their friends. They don't want to fight a war. And so we have people in governments that are actively wanting to arm the illegal people that have crossed their country and possibly give them immediate citizenship and large sums of money for them to entice them to serve in the military. So we have all these little problems everywhere that could just explode. And now that you have American soldiers killed, and I'm going to get into some of the larger conflicts, you know that Israel is going to strike Iran, and you know that the United States is going to strike Iran, and I have a feeling they're going to strike Iran at the exact same time they strike Yemen and go after the Houthis. That will distract Iran from helping as the United States goes in to wipe out all the Houthis that are in Yemen. So I think that conflict is going to explode at any minute. So I think that conflict in the Middle East is going to explode extremely soon. It's going to get extremely ugly really fast. And I don't think Russia and China have been just sitting back waiting to counterpunch the United States and try to dodge the United States' punches, so to speak. I think that all these countries that are not friendly to the United States, I believe they have plans that they are going to hit the United States' lower 48 states. And I think there are plans for Iran and Russia and China and these other countries. I think they have sleeper cells in the United States. I think they plan on hitting us. And also, Russia has the largest arsenal of nuclear weapons on Earth. And so if things go nuclear, things are going to go bad in a big way real fast for the Western nations. But of course, you now have the United States deploying missiles, nuclear weapons, that is, in the United Kingdom. And that's going to make the United Kingdom a bigger target. And we're forgetting that Russia has this big bomb that they can deliver by submarine. And it's a tidal wave bomb. They can detonate it off the coast of a small country like England. And the tsunami wave that would result from this bomb would literally wipe a lot of Great Britain off the map. The waters would surge so many miles inward, and a lot of people would be killed. And so when things really kick off, they're going to kick off really hard and heavy. And it's going to seem to be instantaneous. But we have been fighting World War III for quite some time. The scary thing is that now you have almost every country that's involved saying that they no longer fear nuclear war. And when you have people that don't fear dropping nuclear weapons and they don't fear having them dropped back on them, that's when you have a huge problem, and that's where we're at. It just sickens me that these elites want to depopulate Earth to the point where they will do anything to get people killed. That is so sad. And although it's sad that the elites are doing this, what's really sad is that we're letting them. And even sadder yet, we're helping them. Every time you do business with one of these corporations that are owned or operated or managed by the elites, you're just funding your own demise. Every time you go shopping at a place that you know that they're going to take part of the money that they make as far as profits from you are buying something from them and turning it back against you, like they did during the Black Lives Matter fiasco. And so we sit back and send our children to public school, knowing full well that all this evil is going on, and that's shame on us. And then we go to the big box store that gave millions of dollars to communist causes such as Black Lives Matter, and also supported Antifa, and we'll buy things from them and save a dollar and say, wow, we're saving money. So it seems that everything we're doing in society is just sticking our head in the sand. And the French farmers are showing us how to really handle the government. They're doing a lot of destructive things. Do you suppose if all the Americans that cared about our border would do something to shut down the government or do something to really get everyone's attention and shut the country down to where the government would have to listen? Do you think that would work? Well, I think it would work more than just standing by and complaining about things. And while the farmers in France are getting a little out of hand, I don't blame them because they're getting their land stolen from them. They're getting their occupation outlawed, and they have nothing to lose, and they act like they have nothing to lose. And so they're doing all sorts of civil disobedience. But I have to say, God bless the French farmers, because at least they have a backbone, and they're doing something about it. The average American says they have a backbone, and they try to prove it quite often, but when it comes down to tyranny, saving our constitutional republic, that kind of thing, well, that's a little bit too much for the average American to even think about protesting or complaining about in a way that they'll get noticed. And it seems like the average American does not want to stand up and be counted when they should stand up and be counted. When you look at our Revolutionary War that we had back, that started in 1776, that was a group of farmers as well, and small business owners. And only a small fraction of people actually took up arms and went against the crown and won our independence. Well, it's going to take that kind of spirit to defeat these elites. Not by thinking we're going to save a dollar and going and buying something from them and supporting them, making their position stronger while your position is weaker. In the big box stores that sell groceries, lots of times the produce comes from China and who knows where else, and it's sprayed with who knows what kind of chemical. And so when you look at all the evil that's happening and all the conflicts and all the wars and all the fighting, just all the problems, the solution has to start somewhere. And it has to start with us. And we're going to have to understand that we cannot support our own demise. We just can't do it. And the more we think that we're doing the right thing by saving a dollar but supporting them, the worse everything's going to be. If I could get one thing across in this message, it has to be that saving our republic and saving our way of life and securing our borders and stopping these needless, endless wars has to start somewhere. And it has to start with us. I think that's vital. On the other side of the break, I'm going to pick up where I left off. And I'm going to add some solutions to some of the problems I see. And also, I would like to ask for you to support this ministry. That's very easy to do. Just go to the website, which is truth2ponder.com. Click on the support tab, and you can donate electronically that way. Or if you'd like to send in a check or money order by mail, you'd make the check payable to Ancient Word Radio. Ancient Word Radio. And you would mail to Truth to Ponder, P.O. Box 510, P.O. Box 510, Chill Howie, C-H-I-L-H-O-W-I-E, Chill Howie, Virginia. The zip code is 24319.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
The cruel joke and the cosmic key is coming up. Shalom Aleichem. This is Jonathan Kahn, your Jewish connection, bringing you the riches of your Jewish roots in Jesus. Now get your pen out as fast as you can so you don't miss out on getting a special free gift in a moment. A practical joke some of my friends would play growing up, they take a coin, like a quarter, and use super glue to glue it to the sidewalk. So people would see the quarter, bend down, pick it up. They couldn't move it. It was fixed to the sidewalk. A cruel practical joke, but a great biblical lesson. How much does a quarter weigh? Not much at all. But if you use super glue and you glue a quarter to the pavement, how much does the coin weigh? Well, now the coin weighs as much as the pavement weighs. And that's a crucial principle in God. You see, we try to be strong and holy and righteous, and that's great. But that's not the secret. No matter what you do in your own strength, your own weight, you're going to fall short. It's nothing. You're going to be weak like that coin. You're not going to weigh much. But if you'll glue yourself to God, fix yourself to Him, join yourself to His righteousness, cling to Him, then His strength will become your strength. His righteousness becomes your righteousness. His weight becomes your weight. His power, your power. His resources, your resources. His abilities, your abilities. His riches, your riches. And even His authority becomes your authority. You're going to live not by your own weight, but by His weight. Not by the lightness of a coin, but by the solidity of the pavement. How strong will you be? As strong as you join yourself to God. How blessed will you be? Well, that's how blessed. Therefore, it's written, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. It's not just a practical joke. It's a cosmic truth that can change your life. Live by the weight and power of the rock. Join yourself to the rock and live by that and not by the lightness of a coin. Want more? Ask for The Face of an Angel on CD. Now, the free gift for you, the most incredible, awesome Mystery of the Temple Doors on CD. You're going to love this thing, and it's yours free. And also sapphires to bless your socks off. It's like vitamins for your spirit. It's a free gift subscription. Just how do you get it? Easy. Just write down the name of Jesus, the real name, Yeshua, and you call it. So to receive your free gifts, just call 1-800-YESHUA-1. You will be blessed, but call now, 1-800-YESHUA, YESHUA-1. My friend, you're on this earth for a great purpose, to be a blessing. I invite you to join me in being the greatest blessing to the unreached peoples of the world. Make your life count amazingly. Through Shortwave Radio, you can blanket the earth with salvation. Amazing. How? Call 1-800-YESHUA-1. That's 1-800-YESHUA, YESHUA-1. Or you can write me direct. Just write to The Nice Jewish Boy at Box 1111, Lodi, L-O-D-I, New Jersey, 07644. It's The Nice Jewish Boy, Box 1111, Lodi, L-O-D-I, New Jersey, 07644. Well, till next time, this is Jonathan Kahn saying, be strong in His power, my friend. Shalom Aleichem, peace be to you, and Messiah Adon Olam, the Lord of all.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
Welcome back to the second half of Truth to Ponder. This is Jim Calhoun sitting in for Bob Bierman today, and I really do appreciate you tuning in. Well, the first half I was talking about some of the conflicts that were happening worldwide. And I didn't mention several others, so I'm going to mention them now. We have the war against women. Not the phony war against women that the Democrats said the Republicans were doing, but a real war against women. All over the world, we have transgenders who are men who pretend to be women, are being allowed to compete in sporting events and also beauty contests and everything else. These transgenders are winning all sorts of pageants and all sorts of sporting events, getting gold medals, and they're very proud of it. But they have ruined women's sports, and they're trying to get rid of the term mother and replace that with birthing person. And of course, you have all these woke people that seem to have brain damage that claim that men can bear children. And of course, having the little boys think they're little girls who think they're little boys, and a whole group of teachers that are indoctrinating. They're not teaching anymore. They're trying to steal our children. They're trying to steal this whole generation. And so it seems we have a war against sanity itself, as well as war on traditional thoughts and traditional values. War on our children as they try to corrupt them. And of course, the ongoing war against the unborn. And you have the war against farming. And now you have the Davos group, some of the elites that are calling for what they call an end to ecocide, which is a new buzzword they made up that we're probably going to be hearing a lot more of from now on, because they want to outlaw farming. And of course, cows are destroying the planet, so there's a war on cows and a war on pipelines, unless that pipeline is carrying carbon. And of course, a war on carbon. These people are so idiotic, they don't even realize that we are a carbon planet and we are all carbon-based life forms. And so if you get rid of all the carbon, well, guess what? You have nothing. And I do believe there's a war against God's creation in a war against God's people. And I think that we have so many things happening all at once that when things start really cracking, when the foundation starts to crack, the whole building is going to come down. And everybody that has a bone to pick with anybody else, well, I think they're going to go to war with them. And I would say that the situations around the world are simply hopeless. But I do know there's always hope with the blood of Jesus. And I know that God can intervene. Hearts can be changed and miracles can happen. And so I'm not being defeatist about this, but I think everyone needs to have their eyes wide open and really check out the world in which they live and understand that it's a dangerous place, more so than ever. And so I'm going to give you some suggestions of things I think you should do. The reason I'm giving you these suggestions is that I really think that when things go bad, they're going to go so much worse than anyone can even imagine, that even the people who have been prepping for a while, that think they have enough food, water, and money, and everything else, I think even they will be amazed at the intensity and how ill-prepared they are, even though they think they're totally prepared. So I'm talking to both groups, the people who are prepared and the people who are unprepared. And to you folks who think you're prepared, well, God bless you. I'm glad you have been really paying attention and you're really trying to take care of your family. I think that's great. I do think that whatever you have, you need to take stock of it. And if you don't have at least a year's supply of food, a whole year, if you don't have that, I think you may be in trouble. And when I say food, I'm also meaning supplies. Medicines and personal hygiene and clothing, shelter, everything you're going to need, you're going to have at least a year's supply. And if you can't figure out what a year's supply is, just give it your best guess. And then I would add 10% more. That way you have some insurance in case you guessed wrong. That'll make sure that you have more goods and more food that is available to you. And if you guessed wrong the other direction, and that extra 10% is something you're not going to need, well, that's something you can barter with. I think we need to develop relationships with people we can barter with. I think we need to get acquainted with and do business with local farmers, local merchants, local bakers and butchers. I think we need to abandon the big box stores en masse. I think we need to get away from the corporations en masse, because make no mistake, the large corporations are funding the people that want our demise, the demise of the common people. All you have to do is go back to the riots of Black Lives Matter and Antifa and see who was funding all of the criminal activity that was happening. The people that funded Black Lives Matter was like a who's who of American business. Most fast food chains, most of the large corporations gave millions of dollars to that communist organization that was burning down our towns. So what I'm trying to tell you is, in an emergency, these corporations do not have your back. But the local hardware store, the local grocer down the street that lives in your town or in your area will most likely have your back. Because if they don't, well, they're going to go out of business very soon. And so what we have to do is make sure that we're buying and selling locally. We need to get trading partners, people that we can barter with. I think that's vital. I think you should have a year's supply of food. And if you don't have any money, beans and rice and more beans and more rice and more beans and more rice, make sure that you have salt and pepper and sugar, some of the staples. And you might get real sick of beans and rice, but it beats starving to death. And I think that's what the elites have in mind, is to kill us any way they can. Starve us, shoot us, give us poison vaccines. Whatever they decide to do, I think they're going to do it. I think now's the time to get any how-to manuals, and I'm talking about paperback or hardback books. Actual books you can hold in your hand. And if you don't have any access to any books like that, we'll find some ebooks, find some how-to ebooks and download them. And after you download them, print them out and make your own booklet. I think the people who are going to depend on their electronics to save them, as far as they're being able to function on a day-to-day basis, I think they're going to be in for a rude surprise when our electronics get fried with an EMP attack. And I really think that's going to happen as well. When everything hits the fan, we're going to have hackers, we're going to have cyber war, we're going to have economic war, we're going to have EMP strikes that are going to take out the infrastructure as far as the electronics are concerned. I think we're going to lose the ability to use our cell phones or our computers. So you better be prepared to be knocked back into about like 1970. You really do need to do that. And I don't know how many people are taking my advice. I know several people say they are, and I really do appreciate that. But most people listen to me, and even if they think it's a good idea, they don't act upon it. But I really think you need to start rehearsing. I think that if you have a family, you need to start rehearsing one night a week without power. Just shut your breaker off and go through the whole evening without power. Use candles, kerosene lamps, or battery-operated lights, and do family things and make it a family night. Get out some old board games, the type that just use cards or dice or little figures that move around a board. There's an awful lot of interesting and fun board games that do exist. And if you don't have any, buy a few, because I think you're going to need some. Because if we lose our power, and you have no internet, you have no television, no radio, and of course the newsprint will be hampered, if not totally non-existent, because of the loss of power, you can still find a release and an escape in a good board game. And if you have that one night a week where you actually have fun and enjoy each other as a family, when the power goes out, when an EMP strike happens or power gets rationed or whatever, or some other calamity befalls our power grid, while everyone else is panicking, you'll already have a good idea how to function without being panicked. And I think that's a huge thing. And that's, do not panic. The people who are going to panic are the ones who are going to be lost. And so brace yourself for what's coming and just deal with it one issue at a time. But do not panic. If you panic, then I think you're going to fail. If you don't panic, the likelihood of your failing goes way down and the likelihood of your success goes way up. So it's really time to take stock of who you are on the inside as well. We can't panic. We have to be prepared. And we also have to be able to defend our homes. There are lots of people that have different ideas of what defending their home is. And I think everyone has a point. I think there's lots of ways to defend your home. One way to defend your home is to arm yourself and have enough ammunition to last this whole thing out. Now, the trouble with that is if gunfire starts, it's likely to be returned at you. And also, the government has been tracking who's been buying ammunition for quite some time. And there might come a day where the government will confiscate your guns and your ammunition. And they'll know that you have it because they'll have the purchase records. That's one reason I don't join any buyers clubs. I don't have any cards for a discount. Because when you sign up for those kind of things, you're signing up to have your information stored, shared, stolen, sold. It's out of your control. You don't know what's going to happen to the information. Maybe it's going to be given to the government. Maybe it's going to be given to the big box stores, or should I say sold. And so I stay pretty gray. And that's another way to defend your home, is blend in. Stay gray. Don't stand out in any way. There's an awful lot of gray people that you can't track them. And they've been that way for quite some time. So I think being as gray as you can be is going to help you immensely. Now, I'm not saying not to arm yourself or to have handguns or weapons in your home. I'm just saying that if that's your only line of defense, well, then that's what you're likely going to have to use. But I think a combination of several things that I'm going to talk about would be a better defense. If you don't have to use your firearm, but you have one and have enough ammunition, but you don't have to use the firearm, so you keep your ammunition for future emergencies, I think that's a good plan. I mentioned a month ago that dogs are a very good item for security. And there are enough people that are terrified of dogs that just the mere sound of a dog barking is going to turn a lot of people away from your property. And so I recommend that you have a dog if you have the ability to do so. I know a lot of people don't like gates or fences, but maybe it's time to put up a security fence around the perimeter of your property. That will deter a large amount of people, and also have security cameras on the perimeter of your property. And I'd have your entire property thoroughly marked with notifications that the people who are coming onto your property are being videoed doing so. You're catching them on camera. Even if you don't have cameras everywhere, you should have the signs everywhere, because nobody's going to know exactly where your cameras are. And if you can't afford security cameras, well, think about getting a game camera or a motion sensor camera that'll only operate when it detects motion. Of course, those motion detectors are kind of tricky if you have trees and wind, because they'll be triggered frequently just by a moving branch. And so you're going to have to be very careful as to where you install those kind of cameras. And one thing that people have a hard time doing, but you need to, is control your tongue. Quit talking. Quit telling people your plans. Don't tell anyone what kind of guns you have. Don't tell anyone about your stock of ammunition. Don't tell anyone about your food that you have stored away. And if you have a fallout shelter or a bunker, don't tell anyone about it. I'm going to go back to that concept of becoming gray. We have to be as gray as possible, to where we blend in and we don't put targets on our back. Because when this does kick off really hard, we're going to have opportunists everywhere. Thieves and con men are going to be thick. And with these modern times, we're seeing flash gangs and things that are organized online, masses of people who gather just to loot stores. Another thing you may want to consider is having barred windows on your house. Now, I hate barred windows on houses. Not only do they look ugly and make you feel like you're a prisoner in your own home, but if a fire breaks out in your house and you have to break a window and get out, and you have bars in that window, well, you just complicated things massively for yourself. And so weigh all of your options if you decide to put bars on your windows. Really understand what you're doing, and have backup plans in case of fire. And speaking of fire, make sure your fire extinguishers are charged. Make sure you have firefighting equipment. I think that's going to be vital. I remember the riots in Kenosha, Wisconsin, and all the buildings that were burning and the cars that were burning. And if you live in an area where there's going to be massive social unrest, well, the fire might come to your house. So you're going to have to be prepared to fight to save your house. I know I'm painting very dark pictures, but I'm giving you an idea of how I think you need to prepare. You know that the World Economic Forum and the corrupt people in government and all the Satanists and the one-worlders and the communists, you know that they have detailed plans of how to eliminate you and your family. And so we're going to have detailed plans on how to resist them or stop them. Simple as that. If we have one side that's actively preparing to conquer the other side, and the other side that's going to be conquered is actively denying that anything's wrong and thinking that anybody that is given the warnings for them to stock up and for them to prepare They think they're crackpots. Well, what's going to happen is the people who are planning on doing the pillaging and the destroying are just going to have a much easier time with their tasks of pillaging and destroying if one side doesn't prepare. And there are people that say, well, if it gets that bad, I don't want to live through it. Well, I've addressed this before. I think I need to address it again. God has you alive right now for a reason. And when this mess is over, there is going to be a group of people who are going to rebuild. And this group of people will have control. And at the end of the day, I want that to be good, honest, God-fearing Christians that have the control of rebuilding and have the say-so of what happens, and not the elites and the Satanists, because they have control now, and you see what condition the world is in. You need to financially, mentally, physically, spiritually prepare for the worst-case scenarios that you can think of. That's very hard to do and keep a normal life. And that's another thing we need to do, is try to have as normal of a life as we can and not be on a razor's edge all the time and not be walking on eggshells and not have to look over our shoulders. That's no way to live. And if you're informed and you're prepared and you stay on top of things, then you won't be living in fear. You'll be living in a state of preparedness. And that's the goal I have, is to try to encourage you to get to that state of preparedness, where you have a little more peace of mind, and also you'll have more control over situations as they arise. When the chaos really starts getting bad, there's going to be so many people panicking. There's going to be so many people that are going to be part of the problem. But these are all short-term people. What I mean by that is, if we have the catastrophes happen like I see them happening, there's going to be an awful lot of people that are not going to make it. There's a lot of people that will end up perishing in all of the turmoil and chaos. And a lot of people that are going to perish are the ones that are going to run to the government or run to the food bank or run to the establishment to get them through this mess. And they're not really realizing that the establishment is part of the mess. There are a lot of the reasons the world is in trouble. And so you don't go to them for the fix because they're messing everything up. And as far as food banks are concerned, there's going to be such a mob of people that are after food that you can't count on there being any left for yourself or your family. And I firmly believe the drug cartels are going to move into the food business and end up controlling the food one way or another, whether they steal it or they buy off the officials that are handling the food. I think that a lot of food's going to go black market really quick, and the prices are going to be very high. And that leads me to your finances. Get as strong as you can, as fast as you can. If you don't really need it, don't buy it. Put that same amount of money, even if it's in an envelope, just put it away. Now, if our economy collapses, a dollar will eventually be worthless. But there will be a window of opportunity for the dollar to still be accepted. I don't know how long that window would be open, but I would be willing to bet that it would be open long enough for you to get some good out of your money. And so don't spend frivolously. Don't go to the grocery store and buy things just because you have a craving for something. Just buy what you need. And I would buy several cans extra of things that you want to have in your survival kit or in your food pantry. There's so many things happening, folks. There's so many things happening that even if 1/10 of all of the issues in the world actually take place, we're in massive trouble. Now, I see a total collapse. I don't think that there's going to be anything spared. As far as when one thing goes down or one thing explodes or the situation gets out of hand, I think that's going to be an avalanche. And all these other little conflicts and little wars and the censorship and the tyranny, all of this is going to just explode. And I think there's going to be so many little fires all around that we're not going to know which way to go. We're not going to know which way to turn. And so my final recommendation is make sure you know where to turn. Make sure that you're right with God. Because the only kingdom that will never change is the kingdom of God. The only kingdom that has any lasting or staying power is the kingdom of God. The only place where you're going to get true refuge is in the kingdom of God. And so you have to get yourself right with God, and you have to understand that the Bible clearly points out an awful lot of issues in the end times. And I truly believe that we're living in the end times. I would recommend some Bible studies in the book of Daniel and Revelation. And also, I would study Proverbs, because there's lots of wisdom in Proverbs. And I think wisdom is something that we're going to need, because I think wisdom is something that is essential for us to have if we're going to make it through this horrible, crazy mess. And also, stay in prayer. Pray for your family. Pray for your safety. Pray for your country. Pray for the citizens of this world. Like I said earlier, God is in the miracle business, and God is in control. The Bible does tell about the end times and a lot of strife we have to go through. But we need to have our rock and our refuge in Almighty God. That's the safest place we can be. I know I mentioned a lot of issues today, and I hopefully have mentioned some solutions or some things you can do to lessen the misery that I think that we're all going to be feeling and seeing here in the very near future. Because war is never good. And this war, I think, is going to be bigger than World War II, World War I put together. I think this war is going to get out of hand really fast. And so the war may last for several years. It may last for several minutes. We live in that kind of a world. But just know that we have people that are working against us. We have the abortionists and the mad scientists that are making poison vaccines. We have the mad scientists that are trying to replace all of God's creation with what they're doing in their labs. And so we have problems everywhere we look. But if we have the power of the blood and we know God, then I think we're in the best place we could possibly be. Well, I hope the right ears heard this program today. I would ask for you to support this ministry. It's easy to do. Just go to the website, which is truth2ponder.com. Click on the support tab, and you can donate electronically that way. Or if you'd like to send in a check or money order by mail, you'd make the check payable to Ancient Word Radio. Ancient Word Radio. And you would mail to Truth to Ponder, P.O. Box 510, Chilhowie, C-H-I-L-H-O-W-I-E, Chilhowie, Virginia. And the zip code is 24319. Again, I appreciate you listening today. And until next time, everyone, get prepared. Stay bold. Stay strong. Stay positive. And never, ever forget. Replace fear with faith.
This has been Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. To find out more, visit our website, truth2ponder.com. That's truth2ponder.com. Truth to Ponder, shining the light of truth in a darkening world.